Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody got gifts and talents and ability that was given by God. Some wanna be a doctor or a lawyer, or some just wanna be a star. Now you can be anything you want if you just believe. Ask yourself, what is it that you really wanna do? Name it and claim it and hold on to it, cause yeah.
If you believe it, you can achieve it. And if you pray and I doubt, you can have it.
All right.
Don't worry about a thing or nobody. Just look to the hills, reach out and claim it. If you believe it, you can achieve it. And if you pray and I doubt, you can have it. Don't worry about a thing or nobody.
Now there's no way that we could ever lose. Now we got on our side, yeah. Cause this word simply says that, yeah, yeah. If God be before us, who could ever be against us? And this is the confidence that we should have concerning Him. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. That anything that we ask of Him, we know He hears us. But oh, oh,
my friend, you can make it if you try.
Make it if you try.
Don't let your guilt hold you down.
Don't let your guilt hold you down.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Julius. Thank you, Julius. I believe it, and I believe that I can achieve it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome. Welcome to Power in the Word. Today is Woman to Woman, and this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. Praise the Lord. I'm on the road. I know I'm yelling, but I'm on my Bluetooth. I'm in the van. I am driving home. Amen. I've had a busy day, but I know that I had an appointment with some very important people. So here I am. Amen. Here I am. There was a song back in the day when I was in the world that said, "Here I am, baby." Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be here. Amen. As my friend Reggie Brown would say, it's a good day. Oh, yes, it's a good day to be alive. Amen. I'm so glad that God woke me up this morning in my right mind. Amen. You know, there are some times when I felt like I wanted to lose my mind. But I thank God that he kept me in my right mind. Hallelujah. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in. Amen. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you from New Creation Christian Ministries all the way in Elizabeth, New Jersey. For those of you in the New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, Baltimore, Maryland area, we are at 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Amen. New Jersey's in the house. New Jersey is the place to be. Amen. If you want to worship God for real, come on over to New Creation. Amen. That's right. I'm promoting my church today. Amen. Come on over to New Creation Christian Ministries. But you got some real pastors, a real man and woman of God. On fire for the Lord. Sold out for Jesus. Oh, yes. J-E-S-U-S. We are sold out for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you want to worship God, if you're visiting, if you're on vacation, make New Jersey the place to be and make New Creation Christian Ministries the place to worship God. Amen. We have some great people. I want to give a shout out to my church members, to my church family over at New Creation Prophetess A. Singletary. Sister Linda McCray, God bless you. God bless you, Brother Edgar Vicker. God bless you, man of God. I know it's woman to woman, but you might be listening. Sister Dolores P. Tucker, amen. And all of the women of God who make up the house of God and the men of God who make up our congregation. I can't name you all. I'll name some of you next week. But Sister Tara, all of you, God bless you. You are all a blessing to me, Mother May and Mother Maggie, our mothers, our elders, you know, the deacons, amen. God bless you all. You are a blessing. Pastor Anthony, and I love you. Amen. You help me in my hard times. You know, it's good to have some people around you to help you in your hard times. And the people over at New Creation Christian Ministries, they do that. It's good to know that I'm going to a church where I'm going to be loved on a weekly basis. So it's a good thing. And then I have some people on the internet who are holding up my arm. And I thank God for all of the people on the internet. Dana Neal. God bless you, Dana. Dana's part of my Rise group. And she is a blessing to me. She has always been there. And I love that woman. I love that woman of God, amen, with a sisterly love in Christ Jesus, amen, JoJo Tavares, and everybody who listens from over at the Rise Group, God bless you all. About 500 women over there. You can go over to Rise.com, look for Christian Women of Power, and you will find the Rise Group that I facilitate over there, amen. If you want to connect with some godly women, that's the place to go. Amen. Amen. And praise God. Let us pray. I'm in the car. I'm on my Bluetooth. So pray me in. I'm coming to the studio. I'm headed in. So stay with me. Because when I get to the studio, I will open up the phone line. I'll open up the chat room. Amen. So stay with me. If you're just tuning in, stay with me. Because I'm headed to the studio. And I want you to call in because I want to talk to you. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Father God, I praise your holy name. Lord, I worship you. I magnify your name. God, I thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. And I am rejoicing and glad in it. Lord, I pray that you bless each and every listener today. Bless every person that's listening live. Every person that's listening via the stream. Every person that will come into the chat room, every person that will call, bless them, God. Bless them exceedingly, abundantly, above all that they can think or ask, Father God. Bless them, Lord. Bless their situations, their circumstances, their health, their finances, their ministries, their workplaces, God. Bless their businesses, God. Bless the ideas that you have given them, Lord. Bless them in their comings and their goings, God. Let them be like trees. blessed by streams of living water, that everything that they do shall prosper. Bless each and every person, Father God, that listens to the archives, Father God, every person that sows into this ministry with time and prayers and money, God. Oh, yes, bless, God. Bless each and every person that's connected to this ministry. And bless me, Lord, indeed. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Have your way. Heal the sick. Save souls. Change lives. Put some people on purpose, God. In the name of Jesus, encourage some hearts today, God, as we go forward during this time. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Again, how are you? I pray that you're having a blessed day. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I'm in my car. I'm focusing on driving and doing this radio broadcast. Isn't technology a wonderful thing? Every good and perfect gift comes from God, y'all. Y'all got to know that God created the internet. Amen. I know he gave that men put it together, but God gave them the witty invention, amen, to begin to put the internet together, to begin to put a cell phone together and a Bluetooth. I'm driving with both hands on the wheel, y'all. Pray me in. Pray me in. I'm coming in. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. And you may not have seen it on the board, but today is Women's Women. So we'll be talking about some women's issues and some very relevant issues today. Amen. I want to encourage the hearts of the women of God. And if you're listening and you had a heart to call in, stay with me because I'll be opening up the switchboard and the chat room in a very few minutes, about 5-10 minutes. I'll be in the studio and I'll be able to open up the board. But let me tell you about my day since I'm on my way home. Let me tell you, I've been out since 9 o'clock this morning, and it is after 12 now. But I got up this morning, I prayed, you know, I read my Bible, and just spent some time with the Lord. Let God know that I was grateful and look for some direction and inspiration in my word. Amen. I love the word of God because it keeps me inspired, it keeps me encouraged, it keeps me going. I don't know how some people live without the word, but, you know, some people do, but I'm not here to judge. I'm here to encourage you that maybe if you don't read the Bible, that now's a good time to start reading the Bible. Because there's a lot of good stuff in the Bible, amen. The Bible is the word of God, and the Bible is the lamp unto my feet, amen. It helps me to walk when I don't feel like walking. It encourages me to keep going on when I don't feel like going on. And I'm talking about the word of God today, amen. The book of John said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Told us that the word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. I believe it, amen. If you don't believe it, then it's not going to be relevant to you, amen. So I believe it. I believe every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And every word that's written in my Bible, I do take my Bible literally, amen, praise God, hallelujah. I'm killing some demons up in here, hallelujah, because some people just want to come against Christianity, and they want to come against the Bible, and I'm here to stand to say, for Christ I live, and for Christ I die, amen, and one day I'm going where Jesus is, I'm going to heaven, amen, but right now I have heaven on earth. Oh, yes, I do have heaven on earth. I have a good life. I declare it. The Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 22, that we shall decree a thing, and it shall be established. So I decree that I am blessed. I decree that I am having a wonderful life, and I really am having a wonderful life. Things are perfect, but my life is wonderful. Amen. I have a wonderful husband, wonderful kids, wonderful friends, wonderful people who support me here on Blog Talk Radio. My life is wonderful. It really is wonderful. Amen. Praise God. But let me tell you about my day. Let me tell you about my day. And it's been only 3 hours that I've been out here. I told you I read the word. I meditated on the word. And then I had to come out to have something notarized. My daughter needed me to give her a letter, and it had to be notarized. So I go to the notary with her from, you know, my town to East Orange, which East Orange is a couple of towns over, one town over from my town, so not too far from home. And I park the car. So I parked the car. Now, when I parked the car, I saw that I was parking at a meter and that there was no time on the meter. So I got out and I looked into my purse, my handy dandy purse, for a quarter. And guess what? I did not have a quarter. Didn't have a quarter. So I know that it only takes a minute to notarize a piece of paper. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to run into this place and have this paper notarized and come out. And no meter maid is going to be around to give me a ticket. I'm going to go in here and get this paper notarized. And don't you know that it took a minute, only a minute, praise God, to get that paper notarized. But when I came out, I looked down and I saw this person standing there in a uniform, and I said, Lord, and they were standing right by my van. I have a Plymouth Voyager, and I've had it for 10 years. It's paid for, praise God, and it's running really, really well. Amen. God is blessing me. He's blessing me, I tell you. But the meter maid was standing right there by my van. Can you believe it? So I said, Lord, no, no. And I walk over to her, and she looks at me. I look at her, and she says, hi, how are you? I said, hi, how are you? Then I said, you're not giving me a ticket, are you? And she said, yes, I am. She said, yes, I am. And I said, did you already write it? And she said, yep, I wrote it. And I said, okay. I said, give me the ticket. You know, and I reached out my hand to take the ticket, and she said, are you staying here? I said, no, I'm leaving. You know, that was the most expensive 5 minutes of my life. $42, y'all. Can you believe it? I got a ticket. It cost my daughter $1 to have that piece of paper notarized. And it cost me $40. When I looked at the ticket, and it's a computer printout because they put everything in the computer now, so she couldn't rip the ticket up or anything. And I looked at that ticket, and I saw $42 for overtime on the meter parking. You want to know what I did? Let me tell you what I did. When I sat in my car, and I looked at that ticket and saw $42. You want to know what I did? I cried. Oh, yes, I did. Those tears started coming down my eyes. Tears welled up in my eyes and started flowing down my face. I was like, God, oh, God. I was crying like a baby. Because you know what? It's just not fair. I'm laughing now, but I was crying then. I'm telling you the truth up in here. And I just pulled up into the driveway of my studio. So I'm going to be in the chat room in a minute. I'm going to be in the office in a minute. I'm going to leave my ticket right here because I don't feel like looking at it. But I cried like a baby. I was like, Lord, I'm trying so hard. I'm working so hard. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. God, it's just not fair. Why do I have to get a ticket? Why? I was being a brat. I'm just telling you the truth up in here. I was being a brat. I was like, I don't believe. This woman gave me a ticket. But you know what? I didn't give her an attitude. I didn't say nothing to her. I just said, have a good day. And I was on my way because you know what? It was my fault. I broke the law. I parked at the meter and left my car there and didn't have a quarter and knew it was a possibility of me getting a ticket. Are you getting me? I knew that it was a possibility that I was going to be in trouble. If I left my van there, I knew that it was a possibility that I could get a ticket. And that's just what happened. Amen. But you know what? God is still good. And you know what I did after that? I turned on my radio and turned to 1190 WLID, the gospel station. Because I don't have a CD player. My van is 10 years old, and they actually sold me this van without a CD player. So I didn't have a music, any music to put on. So and I didn't want to hear anybody talk, so I just went ahead, put on some praise music, and went ahead and let that music take me into spirit. Amen. When your flesh is crying, go ahead and play some music and let that music put you into the spirit. Amen. Amen. And that's all I have to say about that. I tell you, the devil is a liar. You know what? I probably should. Somebody out there is saying, I know my chat room's not open yet. Give me 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes. But somebody out there is saying, well, you know what? You should have declared favor over your life when you walked out the door this morning. And you know what? I didn't do that. I didn't declare favor over my life. But I know that I walk in God's divine favor. And everything happens for a reason. Maybe I just needed to get some tears. I've been holding a lot in, you know? Amen. Praise God. But God is good, and I still praise him. Yet will I praise him. Amen. So I'm going up to the studio now. That's my children saying, Grandma, hello. Put that stuff up. I'm going into the studio now, and we're going to be able to interact. But I just thought I'd tell you about my experience today. Ooh, ooh. Some experience. So I just went ahead and went to the bank. I was praising God for the money that I had to put in the bank. And it was more than $42. But you know what? I thank God that I had the money to put in the bank and that I do have $42. Amen. So it's a blessing. God is saying today, count your blessings. We need to count our blessings. Amen. We can't get caught up on what we don't have or what's happening to us. It's not fair. You know, I don't deserve it. I deserve better. Yes, you know what? But no matter what happens, no matter what happens in your life, realize that God has a plan. See, this is what God wants me to continually be reminded of. This is what he wants us to continually be reminded of. No matter what happens in our life, God still has a plan. He tells us in Jeremiah 29:11 that he knows the plans he has for us. And his plans are to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. The King James Version says that it's to give us and it's to bring us to an expected end. So knowing that, we know that anything that happens in our lives is a part of that plan. You know what I mean? Well, we know that no matter what happens, God is in control and that his plan is still in motion. See, God has already put the wheels in motion. The wheels of his plan in motion. God has already put the wheels of his plan in motion. He already knows the end from the beginning. He knows what you're going through. He knows that I was going to get that ticket today. He probably knows that I was going to cry because, you know what, I'm a tough girl. I don't cry too much. But you know what, tears came to my eyes this morning, I'm telling you. And I just dried it up, you know, and just began to, that music came on, and I went into the spirit and began to praise God. And I just thank God. I said, thank you, Lord, for every experience that I have to go through, for every trial, for every tribulation, for every hard time. I just thank God. Amen. I thank God. And I got into the spirit. And I went forward. And you know what God said to me? And the chat room is open. The chat room is open. The phone lines are open. You can call in. Come into the chat room, 646-652-4832. You can come in and or call me and talk with me. Amen. I need somebody to come in and comfort me today. Amen. So I'm here. Amen. So you can come in. But you know what God said to me while I was crying this morning, you know, and I'm talking to women and probably some men, because some of the men out there, some of you men out there, you probably feel like crying sometimes too. You probably feel like crying sometimes too. And I know that I go through some experiences, some valley experiences, and it takes a lot to get me to cry. So I wasn't crying about the ticket. I was crying about some other stuff that I should have cried about back then. You know, I had gotten to my limit. You know, sometimes you get to your limit, and it doesn't make you a wuss. Sometimes you can miss a TV show, and then your schedule goes behind. And it's something you put on your calendar. You've been busy, and you know that you want to watch this telecast or whatever it is, or listen to this radio broadcast. And then something comes up, and you miss it. And it's something so trivial, but you find yourself with tears in your eyes from the disappointment. That doesn't mean that you're worse or that you're soft. It just means that you reached the limit. Your threshold has been reached, and you have to let something out in order to keep moving forward. Sometimes you have to cry and get mad so that you could come back up fighting, so that you can get mad enough and angry enough to say, you know what, I'm not taking this anymore. It's on. We're getting ready to fight now. We're getting ready to rumble. Let's get ready to rumble. So sometimes you got to cry. Sometimes you have to cry. And like I said, it wasn't just the fact that I got the ticket. It was that my threshold had been met, and I was like, Lord, what, you know? And I was like a baby, I'm telling you. I'm laughing now, but I really was crying this morning. And women, we cry sometimes, you know. We go through sometimes. And I have a caller, amen. I'm going to take this call again. The phone lines are open. The chat room is open. Come on in and talk to me, amen. God bless you. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Hi, it's Recipe Box. It's Barbara. Hi, how are you?
God bless you, Barbara.
You're laughing. Amen. How are you? And I've been listening to you from the car.
Oh, can you believe that? I tell you.
Yeah, I do believe it. I was thinking this morning, because I didn't want to miss the program today, and about 11 o'clock, I said, Lord, she feels so tired on me. Why does she feel so tired? And so I was like, I better get on this show and listen and see what's going on for today's show. You started saying, and I started crying, and I said, well, that was probably a good thing.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm talking about, because the water, it cleanses and it purges, you know, all of the toxins. You know, when we cry, there's salt in our tears. You know, and salt is a purifier, a refiner. And that salt begins to purify our spirit. I believe in crying, you know, once in a while. I'm a tough girl. I'm a tough girl.
I know what you mean.
when you said
it wasn't fair, it wasn't fair.
Yes.
You know what I saw at that moment when you said that? I'm sure Joseph thought it wasn't fair when Potiphar's wife was chasing him and he was doing the right thing. And he ran off and didn't touch her. And
amen.
Was doing everything that he could to be above board and to handle his father's business the right way, and every time they cheated him, and, you know, remember me, I'm the one that helped you, and they're like, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? And
yes.
It's like everybody was working against him, you know? And I sure thought it wasn't fair.
And I know you've been praying for me, woman of God, because let me tell you, I told you this morning, I read the first thing I did was praise and went into the Word, and he took me right to Genesis, where Joseph's brother threw him in the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites. And I'm like, oh, my God. And here you start telling me, okay, God, I got it, okay. I'm having a Joseph experience right now. That's confirmation, because he had me read about how Joseph had the dream, that whole chapter, how Joseph had the dream and how his brothers, you know, the Bilhah and Bilhah's sons, didn't like him. They hated him. They hated him anyway. And because he brought back a report to their father, and then the father was a favorite, so he gave him the ornamented robe to put on, and then they hated him even more. So then the brothers saw him coming when the father sent him out to the field to check on them, and they said, here comes that dreamer. Let's throw him in the pit. And let me tell you what I thought about when I read that particular verse, here comes that dreamer. Let's throw him in the pit. I thought about the fact that I have been a dreamer, since I was maybe 10 years old. God has just spoken to me. I've been a daydreamer. I would go into these these zones where I would be daydreaming and seeing my life in the future. I thought that I was using my imagination to escape from my circumstances, but what was happening was that God was showing me my future.
Right, right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's all of that opposition is for the dream's sake, just like Jesus in the New Testament said that we were going to suffer for the word's sake. It's not,
yes.
It's not that we should at all take it personally, just like you told the lady was that was put, you know, giving you the ticket. You know, this isn't personal. You knew
it, no.
When you left it, you know, so you're not going to rant and rave and carry on with her and cry.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was just the situation was what it was. And same thing with, you know, the vision that God has placed in you. Some of it may be clear and some of it you may still be waiting to get clarity on. But all the opposition, because the enemy knows, you know. He's been dogging our tracks since the beginning of time. So, you know, the enemy knows when someone's sold out and for real and for, you know, going to fulfill their purpose. And he's going to bring all that opposition for the sake of the word, for the sake of the dream, the vision God's given you. So, amen. Yes.
Amen.
Get all of that out of your system.
I had to get it out. It's the reason that I was still out. And I went, let me tell you, I was in my car and I had to go over to the bank to make a deposit. And I left the bank. My bank is a couple of towns away, like 20 minutes away from here. So while I was over there, I like to go to BJ's. So I said, you know what, I need some stuff from BJ's, so I'm going to shoot in here. And I still had plenty of time to go in and come out. But it's something so soothing about walking through the aisles of this giant warehouse with everything that I could want in life. It's, you know, it's just like every material thing that I could even think about buying for my house is in this place. And I'm in there, and I love walking through the aisles, and I just took my time. And when I got out of that place, you know, I looked at it, the time, I said, okay, I thought I had time to go home. And I said, no, I only have 5 minutes. So I programmed the number and called into the studio. But the thing about it is, in there, I forgot about my problems. You know, it was like God takes us sometimes to a rich place, to a big place, to a place that's full, to remind us of his magnitude, to remind us that he is El Shaddai, the Almighty One, to remind us that it's so above a $42 ticket. You know, I mean, $42 to God is a drop in the hat.
Right.
It's nothing to him. So when we think about the fact, are you going to get caught up in your circumstance? Are you going to be caught up on the $42 ticket that you can pay right now if you wanted to? Or are you going to put your mind back on things above, on things that are of a higher standard, things that are of God in the heavenly place? Are we going to think in the mind of man, or are we going to think in the mind of Christ? And I know you can relate to this because you dropped a powerful tidbit of information on me yesterday.
You know, I understand totally what you're talking about, because one of the things I know when I had studied the life of Joseph at one time, sometimes we get so focused on all the little, and they're not little things. I mean, being dropped in a pit and sold into slavery, they're not little things. But we kind of get caught up in all the adventures that he went through.
Yeah.
At the end of the whole matter, he was being set up to solve a problem for the entire society, not just for his people.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
So he was in the house of Pharaoh. You know, he was over the affairs of state, not just things of God's people, not just of the Hebrew people. And
Amen.
Also, he had to have all of that worked out of his heart by the time those who had offended him and those who had sold him into slavery, when they came to him, all that had to be worked out of his heart. He could not stand there. And because I know my first reaction would be, okay, I got him now. You know what I mean? Now you need me. Now, you know what I mean? Now here you come on your knees, you know, and this is my chance to let you know, see, this is what I was about all along. You know, are you going to gloat, you know, or are you going to feel compassion? And so sometimes he takes us through those hard places so that he can work that heart of compassion into us so we know what it's like to be on the other end of the situation, you know, so that when you get into that big wealthy place, like that big BJ's warehouse place, and someone comes up to you, you know what it feels like to cry over $42.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And that's what God's like, what is your problem? Everything is yours. I promised you so much. And that's the thing that we have to realize, that the Lord, the Bible tells us that there's no good thing that he will withhold from those who love him and those who obey him. You know, we obey him when you're walking in obedience. And I'm not saying perfect. You don't have to be perfect. You know, too many people are getting frustrated because they're trying to be perfect. But all that you have to do is work on being righteous. Just do the right thing. You know, God has given us an natural inclination to know right from wrong and to know the right thing to do versus the wrong thing to do. If we know in our hearts that we're endeavoring to do the right thing, then there's no condemnation that comes upon us, even when we make a bad decision.
Right.
So, you know, we've had to make some decisions in our lives, my husband and I, and some of them have been hard decisions.
Yeah.
You know, we've had to put our foot down, we've had to exercise tough love. Mm-hmm. And women, you know what it's like when you have children and you have to exercise, or even relatives. And you have to exercise tough love with your relatives and with your children so that you don't continue to be a crutch for them and create a handicap. So, but the right thing is to take away the crutches and not help them to be crippled. You feel like the right thing to do in your heart is to do everything that you can for them. But God says sometimes you got to do the tough thing and give them tough love.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's sometimes very hard to do. And I've been dealing with all of that. And you heard my testimony about wanting to be in control. and let me tell you, right now I'm not in control.
No,
dead
God, like
it. Dead God, I'm not in control.
You wasn't in control.
I'm going to have a temper tantrum. Dead God, I'm not in control. God is in control.
Yeah.
Have you been there when you know you're not in control, that it's his will?
Yeah, I know. And this morning, I've been up since 4, so, you know, you can get weary. And I got to a point where I just had my head down, and I said, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to just tell you the flat out
truth.
I did not have the strength to give up. You
have
to know, I didn't even have enough strength to say, I can't do this. I didn't even have the strength to say, I can't do this. I was so just like there. I'm like, if God, I know it's you holding me up, because I don't even have the strength to fail. I don't have the strength to do anything on this. So it's got to be God. But, you know, the other thing that he taught me recently, because another thing, and I think women tend to do this a little more because we tend to stay in our emotions longer than men do, I think, in my opinion. And,
yes.
You know, we kind of go back over, did I make the right decision? Did I say the right thing? Did I hurt
their
feelings? You know, we just replay things over and over. And the Lord said to me the other day, tell yourself it didn't happen. And I was like, what? You know, and so like I had bad memory of this or bad memory or sad memory of this or that or the other. And he said, tell yourself it didn't happen. And so whenever the enemy was trying to remind me of a bad situation or something that I did that I had repented of, then the first thing that comes out of my mouth was, it didn't happen. Because once you repent of that thing, God promises that he won't remember it anymore.
That's right.
You know, once you confess that sin, he cleanses you of that thing. You're not to bring it to his remembrance anymore. You're supposed to move on in what he has for you. And we're not supposed to dwell in that wilderness. We're just supposed to pass through it. But as long as we keep it in the forefront of our thoughts, then we're still in that place. You know, he was trying to work Egypt out of the people of God. You know, but only Joshua and Caleb made it, you know.
That's
so
right.
He was trying to work all of that thinking the way they were thinking. They wanted to go back because they liked the onions and the turnips or whatever. You know, they wanted to go. Wasn't it better for us to be in bondage? How crazy is that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, God told me to just start saying it didn't happen.
And that's the mentality that God wants us to break. That slave mentality,
yep.
That Egypt mentality,
right.
Where we, that victim mentality.
Right.
And the reason that I do Women to Women on Thursdays is because so many women, we have been victims. I mean, we cannot deny the fact that we have not been victims. There are some cases where God was totally stripped that. from your remembrance. And then there are times when he will shield you from remembering long enough for him to get you to a point where he can bring it back to your remembrance so that he can heal you.
Yep.
And then there are other times when he just wants you to forget about it because he's forgotten about it. This is something that you've done, that you've had control over. And God says, I will remember their sins no more. So you're absolutely right. We can just, sometimes we're too tough on ourselves
yeah.
as women. We're too tough on ourselves, and we don't let go enough. We
right.
need to, sometimes somebody needs to let it go today.
Yeah.
Just let it go. You know, you did the best that you could with what you had.
Right.
You did the best that you could in the middle of that circumstance or that situation. You worked with what you had. And some of us, if we would have known better, God knows we would have done better.
Right.
You know, we did what we were, my husband used the word last night, enculturated. You know, that we, you know, we're enculturated to live a certain way, to think a certain way, to be a certain way. But God makes us brand new. He makes us over. And I love the fact that God makes us over. Amen. I thank God that I'm not who I used to be. I tell you, I was a hot mess, you know, too hot for my own good, you know. But God, and he, because I was needy, Sister Bob, I was needy, you know, I needed attention, I needed healing, I needed love, I needed affirmation, I needed validation, and because of that, I allowed my life to be controlled by those needs, which means that my life was controlled by the people that I thought I needed, what I thought I needed from. You know,
right.
The thing about it is it had to come down to my God shall supply all my needs. I thank God for my man, my fellow brother, my fellow sister, but God shall supply, so he shall supply all of my needs. And when we get there, that $42 ticket that we talked, that I cried about this morning, won't really make a big difference.
No.
Well, stay with me. The phone lines are open. I see we have some people in the chat room. I want to welcome Tonio Talks and Prophetess Chantel. I want to welcome Pastor Sherry Jones and, of course, Bob from the Recipe Box to Power in the Word. I want to welcome you all and invite you to call in to be a part of this particular broadcast. The number is 646-652-4832. Thursday is Woman to Woman. I don't have it on the board because I had a rough morning. Glory be to God. But God will continually get the praise from me, yet will I praise him. You didn't hear me say the devil got on my case or the devil attacked. You heard me say, yet will I praise him. I praise God for every circumstance because I know that I'm growing through every single circumstance to be mature enough to handle the blessings that my Father in heaven has already laid up for me.
Amen.
And I'm going to take, God is going to bless me on earth. I don't have to wait until I get to heaven. I'm going to partake of the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob right here on earth. Amen.
Amen.
And I praise God. And you too shall partake of the blessings. God has some blessings for you right here on earth. Barbara, people laugh at us because, at Christians, because they say that, you know, we're living this pie in the sky life here on earth, and that life on earth is miserable for Christians, and we're waiting to get to heaven to receive the blessings of heaven. You know, what do you say about that?
You know, it's an amazing thing because their sense of reality is so jaded by how they what did your husband Pastor Anthony say? Enculturated.
Yes.
Their minds have been so taken over by the culture that they're in, or, you know, things that were put into them as children that, you know, were not of God. And so they have a sense of, you know, they're serving the wrong God and walking around in the wrong kingdom. They're in darkness. And Jesus said, you know, what my pastor said some years ago, the deceived don't know that they're deceived because they're deceived. You know, so what can you expect from them, really? You know what I mean? They're, you can't expect them to understand the hope of our calling, you know, that you can't expect them to understand it because we really can't explain it to the real degree that it exists. You know, we have a certain understanding of what has happened in our lives, but there's so much to God and so much to being born again that words cannot express. It's like the Bible says, there are not enough books to fill the earth that could fill up all of what Jesus did and has done for us. So,
yes,
it's something that you have to experience. When you talk about being born again, it's something you have to experience, and they have to feel the love of God through the believer to be drawn. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. So we have to show him, and we have to let his spirit flow through us, and they'll be drawn to that. They may not understand why, you know, but they'll be drawn to that. You know believers that you get around them, and you just get encouraged.
Yes,
you know
exactly.
What I mean?
Yes.
You know? And they can't explain that. They're just being who they are in Christ, you know. But it's not something in the mind. You know, the world is trying to ascend to this. They get a little bit of truth, like the laws of attraction. You know, they get a little bit of truth, and they'll turn it into something they can commercialize.
Yes, exactly.
You
or
know?
Something that they can hold on to. When I was seeking, when I was looking for healing, when I was looking for wholeness, when I was looking for wholeness, I went different places. I'm a African American woman. I went to the mosque. That's Islam. I went to the power of positive thinking. That was way before The Secret was out. That was about, you know, a long 15, 20 years ago. I went to so many different avenues. I even looked at this African heritage religion that's really spreading right now, Matura or something like that, the Kemet. I looked at that, and let me tell you something. Nothing worked for me. None of that stuff. All of that stuff, everything I tried was a temporary effect, but it was only through Jesus Christ that I was able to get redemption, that I was able to begin to renew my mind, that I was able to have some healing and some wholeness, that I was able to know that I have power, that I was able to know that I have purpose, that I was able to know how blessed I am. You know, only through the gospel of Jesus Christ was I able to really, really find myself in God. There was nothing else.
You said a mouthful right there. You said you were seeking and you tried all of these other things. And the truth of the matter is they're all seeking too. You know, they may be laughing at the church, but in some form or fashion, they're out there seeking, whether they're in the clubs or they're trying all of these cults or they're, you know, or alcohol or drugs or whatever it is, they're still seeking. You know, they know that there's more to life than what they're doing. They know there's more because God put that in them. They know that there's more, and they know that they're missing something. So even while they may be laughing at the church from time to time about, you know, how we approach things, and Christians are known sometimes for using phrases and saying things that only we understand. You know what I mean? It's almost like
Our language. That's a language of the trade, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, we do, and we alienate people because they don't know what we're talking about. And how about we can't look? There's a place for tongues. I believe in tongues, but if you're talking to someone and praying for someone who and trying to evangelize someone who does not go to church, the tongues is going to scare them away. They're going to think, the Bible says, Paul says, that they're going to think that we have lost our natural mind if we start speaking in tongues. And they're like, oh, no, these people are crazy. They will be scared away, and that's the soul that we have lost. So we need to use discernment as to who we're speaking to and when to use tongues. There's a place for that. You know. And another thing, with these other things, on Blog Talk Radio last night, I was working on a book, and I tuned into some people, and they were talking about this religion with the African heritage, and that was really on my heart, and I tuned in, and what I realized, and I want I realize that there are some Christians that are listening.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to just warn Christians to be very careful about what you're sitting up under.
That's
if
right.
somebody's talking about hating a whole race of people,
right.
just because they're, in this case it was white people, then you need to get away from that and don't let that poison come in. Lord, the way the Lord shows me is that it's wrong for me is by discernment. And then if I stay too long, I want to throw up. I feel like I want to vomit.
Right.
And God is saying, you can't go back to the vomit. This is toxic.
Right.
Now, some stuff is toxic, and you can't let it into your system. I was in BJ's, and two little old, I was getting a big old 35 bottles of water, and I was struggling with it. And these two little old white women helped me put that water on my cart. And I looked up and I looked at them and they were smiling at me and I said, God bless you. God bless you both, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because anybody would tell you, I'll tell people in a minute, I love white people. I love black people. I love Oriental people. I love Hispanic people. Listen, God loves all people. We don't get it twisted.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot get it twisted and think that it's a race thing. It is not a race thing.
Because God is love. He doesn't have to try to love a group of people. He is love. It's what he is. And, you know, so to not love would be for him to deny himself. It's just impossible for him not to feel love and experience love in the midst of his people. And so when we walk through the world, that's what they should feel from us. And that's why
Amen.
They should want what we have, so that we don't have to learn how to love people. We don't have to go to seminars. We don't have to go to workshops. We don't have to read 10,000 books on the subject. We just have to get in the presence of God and get in his word and let his spirit take control over our situations. We need to yield to his spirit. And when
That's it.
The spirit of God is love. And
That's
we
it.
Need to love one another and show love for one another. And they would see that, you know, when we're bickering and complaining about this, that, and the other. The other thing, Pastor Rebecca, when you were talking about that, how you've been working on this book and some of the pressure that's coming on you, is not only for the word's sake that's in you, but the words that you're helping other people to get into the world. God has multiplied that thing. So it's not just because your hands are anointed and your ears are anointed, your eyes are anointed, and as you edit and work with these people on the publishing side of what you do. And I know some people look at that as a vocation, but everything the anointing touches, you understand? So it's you know what I'm saying? So even the water bottles that you're putting in your and blessing those two ladies, it's not, we take so many things lightly that the people of, if you read the Old Testament and the New Testament, they, when someone was blessed, they were blessed indeed.
That's right.
You know,
and God told me, he said, tell them that, bless them. And that's why I said, and they smiled at me, and they were like, thank you. I was like, God bless you both. And I know that that was a blessing that rested upon their lives, that they truly are blessed.
Right.
Guess what? My husband's here. Amen. I just want to say hello. He doesn't really talk on Thursdays, but I want to acknowledge him. God bless you, honey.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Welcome.
Praise God. It's good to be here once again.
Amen. Did you have anything to say, or were you just listening?
No, I was listening. I heard the thing about the women who help you, and I had an incident at work as well. A lady was from Russia, and there was a incident as far as she could not speak English, but she was so hospitable, you know, towards me. And it's just one of those things where, like you said, God gets the glory in everything.
Yes. Amen. Well, thanks for sharing. I'll tell you about my day later. I got a parking ticket. I talked about it earlier. I went to notarize that paper for our daughter, and I got a parking ticket. And baby, I sat there in that van, and I just cried. A tears were coming down my face, and you know I don't cry, right? But I was crying. I was like, God, oh no, why? Oh, and Barbara called me, and she's been consoling me.
Okay.
Oh, but God is good, and I did go to Merrill to put in the deposit. So I'll talk to you later, and thanks for being with us today.
Amen. I'll see you later.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you. Yeah, Barbara, you heard him. He was quiet, like, okay, she got a ticket.
But you could, yeah, but see, you transparency, amen. That's all.
I don't hide. We've been married for 12 years, and I tell people, you know, if we counsel you, you know, we counsel a lot of people who are getting ready to get married, and they're so in bliss because they're going down the aisle to take those vows that they don't really want to hear us say, you're going to have some trouble in your marriage. You know, we tell people because we believe in going into things with your eyes wide open and not eyes closed shut. But we tell people you're going to have some arguments. You're going to have some disagreements. But build your foundation. Build your house upon a solid foundation, the foundation of God's word. Obey God's word. You cannot go wrong if you obey the word of God.
Amen.
And people, they say and and they get married, and within a couple of months, you know, they're like coming to our focus group, and they're like, well, you didn't tell us that it was going to be tough. We did tell you. You almost feel like shaking somebody. We did tell you. But I'm in some mood today. You have to laugh, you know, because the countenance of the Christian should be joy. Amen.
And that's how you regain your strength also, you know.
That's right.
How you regain your strength, and the enemy would have you to bottle that up and get, like you said, and what you said about that stuff being toxic, I know I was driving down the road. I had gone out and done a few errands yesterday on my way home, and I was thinking about some things that are going over the pulpit, because one of the things that concern my heart is the church getting it right. You know, this is a time we got to get it right, and the judgment of God is going to start at the house of God. So, you know, this is not a time for us to be fooling around. And I was driving down the road coming home, and the Lord said, you know, you can't drink out of a dirty glass without that toxic getting in you. And so because I was concerned about walking out of some places, because, you know, you get close to people, you get connected to people, and he said, are you going to treat it like it's a social community club, or are you going to treat it like it's supposed to be my church and what my church is supposed to be? You know, so it's when he wants clean vessels to work through in this end time, we can't be compromised, because what we're coming up against and what's been leased out on the world at this time, you can't have any little doors and any little cracks or crevices where the enemy has any foothold.
Yes.
You can't walk into a situation, and I'm not talking about fighting demons and all of this stuff that you see a lot of people do, and I'm not criticizing anybody, but you have to be able to operate by the Spirit of God in every situation now, because it's coming in every form. I mean, now they're saying, before they said don't eat tomatoes, now they're saying don't eat peppers. You know, it's coming in every, you know, vaccines aren't taking care of things. The antibiotics aren't killing some of these things. Earthquakes everywhere, floods everywhere. And I'm not doom and gloom, but you got to hear by the Spirit of God, turn left and not right.
That's good.
You've got to be so tuned in to what's going on with God and hearing God that you can't have any room for the devil to be tricking you and twisting the word. I don't argue with the devil. You know, people say, well, I quote scripture at him. Well, he quoted scripture back at Jesus, so, you know, he knows the word too. You know, you know, so why? I don't have time for him. I don't have time for him. When I know it's the enemy, I just say, shut up and get out of here. You ain't had nothing to me.
And that's right. And that's a whole, Bob, you just opened up a whole other topic, and we only have 1 minute.
Oh, let me get off here.
We only have 1 minute. But that's so right. And I just want to say in this last minute that you are so right. We can't argue with the devil. We have to know the word. We have to know what the word says. We have to be confident that the word is true, and that the word is for us to be applied to our lives. We have to walk in the power of that word, and we have to tell ourselves constantly what the word says in order to bring what the devil is saying under subjection to the word. Amen. So we have to, we don't argue with the devil, but yes, remind yourself of what the word says. In case you've forgotten, remind yourself of what God has said about you and your life, and about you being more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Remind yourself that no weapon forged against you can prosper. Remind yourself that you are now having life in Christ more abundantly, that you're not just living, not just going through the motions, but you're having life and having life victoriously in Christ Jesus. Amen. And don't sit up under no mess. That's what Barbara really wanted to say. Don't sit up under no mess.
That's what God told you, right? You're on that program. You said you wanted to vomit, you know? That's
right.
That's right. Can't
it's time.
That,
and even in the church, you know, if God is speaking to you and you got that witness in your spirit, it might be time to ask God, where do I go from here? Amen. We're out of time. Barbara, thank you so much for calling in.
God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. All of you ladies who joined us today, join us again. We'll be back on Tuesday, and we'll be back on Thursday of next week for Power in the Word. Remember to make the most out of every single opportunity. And remember, my sister, remember, my brother, that God loves you, and so do we here at Power in the Word. Peace.